May I speak in the power of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The shops today are full of Valentine's gifts and chocolates. And I can't possibly imagine why. Surely everybody knows that the church isn't celebrating the Feast of St. Valentine's today. On the occasion that the first day of Lent falls on the 14th of February, we exchange our gaudy gimmicks of love instead for ash. Last-minute shoppers, relax. Tell your significant other that the church has cancelled Valentine's Day and you're off the hook. But you see, by foregoing one for the other, I believe we're actually exchanging a pale imitation for the real thing. The ashes that we might receive in a moment are, I feel, the most profound sign of love that the world has ever received. This is no passing chick flick. This is an agonizing tale of a God who loved us with a self-sacrificial, life-giving love, even when we turned away from him time and time again. The kind of love that, as St. Paul says, neither death nor life, angels nor demons, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from. These ashes remind us of where we would be were it not for this outrageous love. They're a sign that both lament how far we have left to go and also hint at that final reconciliation. They're a love story. Let me explain a bit more. All love stories have a meet-cute, the moment that the two ill or fated to be together characters meet, perhaps bumping into each other on a busy New York street, sharing that unforgettable glance across a crowded ballroom, one creating the other by breathing life into a dusty puddle. No, wait, that one doesn't quite ring like the others, does it? And yet, Genesis tells us the origins of this great love story. In earthy, vivid poetry, we're told of a God who desired connection with us so much that he was prepared to leave his pristine throne, bend down in the dust, and dirty his hands with mud. You see, God's story, our story, from beginning to end, describes glory getting dirty and dirt getting blessed. The Creator made humanity out of the dust. And if on that day he got some dirt in the creases of his hands, it was surely a sign of things to come. Jesus made himself unclean again and again, touching the untouchables, lepers, bleeding women, even corpses. He got down on his knees and, echoing his Father in creation, he brought life out of the dust. He wrote in the dust of the ground before an adulterous woman instead of naming what she had done to humiliate her. He got the mud from beneath him and made it into a paste to heal a blind man's eyes. And all the same, whilst glory was getting dirty, whilst dirt was getting blessed, the Creator himself was there. And even so, we washed our hands of him. You see, Pontius Pilate, Simon Peter, all those who looked upon the crucifixion and mocked, and we are no different. I think it's so poignant that the ashes that we wear today are the burnt remains of last year's palm crosses. They are the very sign of our own adultery to our great bridegroom, to Christ. Because we join all of history in washing our hands of him who got down in the dirt to create us. On one day, they were rejoicing for their great bridegroom. They were waving their palms in worship, merely for the next day for them to cry out, "Crucify him." And the tools that we use to praise him day in, day out, in one breath can become the markers of our own betrayal. No dirt was too disgusting for him. No mud too monstrous. Like his father before him, Jesus looked into the muddy mess of humanity and said, "What potential? What could I form from this dirt?" From dust we came. From dust we shall return. You see, the promise of Ash Wednesday is that one day we will die. And this doesn't sound like particularly good news. It isn't good news. But it is our birthright. The promise of death is the first that we receive, the one that is ours from the moment we take our first breath. And it's the same promise that necessitates every other one of God's actions that we'll encounter through this Lenten journey. None of what he came to do would be necessary were there not the reality first that we will die. It's one of the main differences between God and us. One of the first ways that children learn who is God and who is humanity. Because God never dies, but we do. Except, of course, if you're Christian. Because we happen to do a mad thing. We worship a God who dies. There is this great plot twist that Lent is leading us towards. The power of God that we worship isn't located in his deathlessness, but in his death. The second person of the Godhead goes to that cross and dies there. Clumsy carpentry pinned to the cross. Glory gone the way of all flesh. He was willing to enter even into the dust of death to be reconciled to humanity. Annually, Ash Wednesday invites us to answer the question of our death. It confronts us with the undeniability of it. It assures us that one day we will return to that dust out of which we came. It draws the truth of it on our foreheads, in the shape of God's own death. Doesn't everything die at last and all too soon? So we receive today the promise of our own death. And yet, within that promise, we hear the echo of another, a crack in the unrelenting edifice of our own mortality, the sound of a breaking tomb. God's action has stolen the sting of death. Yes, we will die, but it no longer gets the final word. We're invited to have ashes on our forehead because they're a symbol of confession, of repentance, which just means turning around, turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ. But we can be joyful in that act of turning, because Jesus makes all the difference. He saves us. He reconciles us. He is grace perfected, love completed, hope promised. He's looked at that great separation between God and humanity and has said, "No more. It is finished." So if in future years people ask you why you have dust on your head on Ash Wednesday, tell them it's a love story. May I tell you it? It's got all the familiar characters and a wonderful meet-cute, a terrible conflict of separation. But oh, the end is so, so glorious. I think on reflection, the best day to introduce Lent is Valentine's Day. Because to understand the reality of our sin, we must first encounter the awesome extent of God's love for us, of how far he was willing to go moulding us from the dust, even as we washed our hands of him. Love that followed us even beyond the grave, so that we might be reconciled with our great bridegroom. So I pray, may we encounter his love this evening and be so moved to offer God our hearts in true penitence and faith. Amen.